Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Man, we're glad you're here today.
Absolutely.
Everybody's here.
How's your week been?
Man, it's been busy.
Right?
Yeah, it's been one of those weeks where you look back and you go, wow, this is crazy. This is nuts, you know? But it's in and out pretty good.
Man, let me tell you, work has been crazy. We're both in IT.
Right.
You know, I don't know a lot of people know that, but I have a bunch of resources that are not in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And it's challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
It's challenging.
I understand.
Sometimes. You know, there's always some project you got to deliver.
Well, the good thing about the projects that I have to deliver, they're physical, you know?
Yeah.
When you're networking, it's
Yeah.
It's different.
And it's budget times, right? So I gotta.
I know. I got a call from my boss the other day, and he said, "Hey, we have training monies available, and we're going to spend it on you." So,
what do you want to do?
I'm going to Omaha, Nebraska, January the 16th.
You're like, awesome.
Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska in January. Can you imagine that?
No, I cannot. Actually,
it's going to be rough.
Yeah,
but it's going to be all right.
Yeah. Hold on. So look, today.
I can't.
We want to talk about love.
Yes.
And I think it's a subject I struggle with, right? Because in the Bible it says, you know, love God.
Yeah, and love right? people, yeah.
You know, that's our whole thing, right?
Love God, love people.
Yeah. But, you know, it says love everybody like you would love yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean you got to like people? Like, I struggle a lot with it, so I thought it'd be a great topic because it's something I personally struggle with.
I do too, and it's one of those struggles where you, I don't think it's one that you land on to finish it off.
Yeah,
it's something that you got to work on every single day.
It is.
Yeah,
but can you love them without liking them?
Well. I can give you the Batman answer, and then I can give you the scriptural answer.
I think we should hear the Batman answer, probably the Rick answer, and the scriptural answer.
The scriptural answer, because I think Batman and Rick's answer is probably going to be the same, and the scriptural answer is going to tell us that we need to be on the front row Sunday morning.
It might be.
So, we talked about this. We were texting back and forth, talking about different topics and things. And when we talked about this one jumped up at me because this is one that is one of my biggest daily struggles.
Yeah,
I mean it really is. And it's not that I don't want to get along with people. It's not that I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do as a Christian man. But it's something that. My flesh has got to be put on the altar daily.
Yeah.
Because I definitely want to, I love Jesus, but I want to pimp slap some people.
Right.
I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Right. You know, I think about, I think about like the Good Samaritan.
Right.
Right.
Man, tremendous story. I love that story.
It is.
Yeah.
But what I think about is the love that was shown.
Right.
And all these people walked by.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, they could have walked by and said, I'm going to pray for you.
High priority people, too.
High priority people right. that should be showing love. Right?
Exactly.
But they just walked by and they may have said in their mind, that poor guy, but I'll pray for him.
Yeah.
Was that loving?
I don't think so.
I don't either. That's what scares me.
Me too, because, we're told that when we face judgment, that we'll account for everything we ever said or thought or did.
Yeah.
And so I look at the Good Samaritan story, and of course, I've preached topics on it. You know
right.
what I mean?
So have I, right?
So it's not something that is, but I look at the Good Samaritan story and think, can I do that? Can I get out of the demographic that I want to love, that I want to minister to, that I feel like is, and hear me when I say this, everyone on this earth is important to Jesus.
Apps 100%.
Every single person, right?
Amen.
So who gives me the right to pick and choose who I can love and love effectively?
Yeah.
And love well.
Yeah.
Because I think that's there's two different things between effective loving and loving well.
There is. What's the difference between, for you, loving somebody and liking somebody? Because for me, there's a lot of people I don't like.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that. And I hate to even admit it.
I do too.
I hate to admit that there's people that I don't like. But there's a lot of people who just do things that they do on purpose.
Right.
Maliciously to upset you,
right?
To kind of get you, and you can choose to be negative about that and just mm-hmm. be like, I'm gonna knock you upside the head,
right?
Which isn't loving.
No, it's not.
Right?
It's not.
But I don't have to choose to be friends with them.
And I think that's right? where the yeah
that's where I'm going. Right?
That, yeah. You
know, I don't have to choose to be friends with them, but I can say, look, I'm not gonna let you get me to that point.
Right.
I'm going to go and pray for you, and I'm going to do what I think God wants me to do for you, and that's loving.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where choosing to be, and we talked about being in the boat, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
You know, I think in choosing who encourages you, who is who wants to see God's best in your life.
Yeah.
And I think filtering through that and getting through the sludge so that those and you don't have to like people.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't have to be malicious toward them.
I agree. So how do you explain that to people? Because like that's where I struggle, I think, is that I'm trying to say, look, I love that person.
Mm-hmm.
But that love doesn't mean we're friends, doesn't mean we're going to hang out.
Yeah.
Right. We recently talked about boundaries,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right. And keeping those boundaries.
Keeping them healthy. And I can love you without liking you.
Well,
how do you show that, or how do you explain that to the non-Christian?
I think you have to go back to the boundary conversation.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think once you get there, you have to describe and exemplify how you follow the greatest two commandments.
Yeah.
But keep those boundaries healthy.
Yeah.
And I think in explaining that and in exemplifying that, you show you show a level of spiritual maturity.
Right. So we said there's a scriptural way to answer, right? Love God
right.
with all your heart,
uh-huh.
right? Love your neighbor as you would yourself.
Right.
So how do you do that?
Well, I don't think we can have this conversation, honestly, without going back to 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah. This is in 1 Corinthians 13 is the most read and quoted scriptures in weddings.
Okay.
But this scripture was written to the church.
That's right. Yeah.
And love doesn't take a record of wrongs.
Right.
And so when you love somebody, sorry, but don't like them, you have to keep on forgiving them anyway.
Yeah.
But realize that they're outside of your boundary.
Yeah.
So that your joy is not taken. So all of these things, all these conversations that we've had over the past several weeks are a culmination of this conversation today.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, right?
Right.
When I say the topics, I'm like, here's a couple that I've been, you know, toiling over.
Right. Go ahead.
And probably why I have been, right? God's put it on my heart, right?
Exactly.
We've been talking about all this stuff to lead up to it.
Right.
Right? Joy and happiness and what the difference mm-hmm. is and boundaries. And
mm-hmm. What does it take to be a Christian
man? What does it take to be a Christian man? And
yeah.
And we do still have to do what does it take to be a Christian woman. I don't know how we're going to do that, but I was thinking about that.
Yeah, right? And since she asked about it, I think we ought to do it here in a few weeks. But yeah,
we should.
For what we have – topic in front of us today,
yeah,
And being able to love someone and not like them, most people, and I'm grouping in Christians with this as well. You know, people that we worship with daily struggle with this particular topic.
I know that I do.
I do.
Right. I do because, you know, there's times that I feel like, am I being a hypocrite? I don't think, like, I'm just saying, you know, it's that flesh in my mind, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
I am supposed to love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I do my best to love everybody, but is it loving to not like them? Is it loving to be like, nah?
Well, let's look at it this way, because we've talked about spiritual discipline and church discipline before at the same time, right? And part of, if you look at church discipline in Scripture, in the Bible, you separate yourself from them.
Yeah,
now,
that's true.
That does not mean that that can never be reconciled.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you have to stop loving them. But I think the difference in loving someone and liking someone or liking someone that you love is on the other side of the boundary that you set for yourself spiritually. And my question is, how do you walk that out so that you show someone love that you admit to yourself that you don't like?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's definitely something that you got to figure out, right? I mean, for a long time in my life, before coming to Christ, it was like, you did me wrong, you are dead.
Exactly.
You're dead.
Yeah.
I would never forgive you.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure I damaged a lot of people in a lot of relationships.
I'm sure I did too.
Right. But just by like, you're dead to me. Don't call me. Don't, you know, just, and if you did call, I wasn't going to answer.
Right.
Right. But that's not loving.
That's right? Not.
That's
no.
Not. And whether I like somebody or not,
that's
not
revenge.
It's just.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
It is.
Right. And I recognize that it's been a problem in my life until I came to Christ, and it's still a daily battle.
Right.
Right. Like the flesh in me is like, I'm going to cut you.
Let me show you my little friend.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's not loving. And so I personally struggle sometimes with like, I don't really like you, but I'm going to love you and I'll hang out, but I don't like you.
So let's get a little more granular with that.
Okay.
Okay, so someone that you don't like but that you are commanded to love, right, ends up in a situation where they need your help.
I'm going to help them.
Right.
Absolutely.
So showing love in that way is healthy, scriptural, and you're following through with what you're supposed to do in your heart.
That's true. I would always help. Right.
Right.
If they said, I need whatever, I'm going to always be there to help them.
Sure.
Right. I'm not going to say no. I wouldn't say I hate people, but if I hated them, I still probably wouldn't say no. Because that's not what God's called me to do.
Right. Right.
And I recognize that. Mm-hmm. And that may be the only door that ever opens for them.
And that's true.
Right.
Exactly. So step number two with that is showing them that love. Does that minister to them to show them who you serve?
Well, I think it does. I think, you know, if you can put aside your personal feelings to show somebody love, it not only shows them who you are, it shows them who Christ is.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It has nothing to do with showing them who I am.
Right, because it's who lives inside you.
That's right. It's showing them Christ through me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you and I have heard people in our community say things like, and I just say our community because, you know, I'm not going to say names, right?
Right.
People in our community that have said things like, you know, you Christian bikers may be the only Bible somebody ever reads.
Right.
Right. They're never going to open the Bible, but they're watching you.
Right.
And so whether I like somebody or not, if they called and asked for help,
I'm still going to give it.
I got to give it.
Right.
I might be the only thing that they ever, the only thing they ever see that resembles Christ.
So
not because of me, but because of Christ.
Right. So that brings in the attitude that you do that with.
Yeah.
So let me pose this to you. So you get a phone call from somebody in this situation, yep. right? So you don't like them.
Yep.
And they need help.
Yeah.
Does it glorify God by you coming up with the excuse of, well, I got to do it because I love God, so I have to love people, and you begrudgingly help them?
Well, absolutely not. And I don't do it that way.
No. Yeah. I'm not accusing
but you're,
you.
But you're right, right? How you do it.
Right.
Do you do it with joy,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Because of, you know, praise God.
Exactly.
Praise God that you called me and asked me to help you.
Right.
Praise God.
Uh-huh.
Or do you do it like, oh, man.
I've got to do this.
I'm a Christian, yeah. so I better go.
I got to go.
Right?
Right.
No, that's not how it works. Because if you do it that way, like, oh, Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. What are you getting me into here?
Yeah.
They're going to see it.
Exactly.
Right? They're going to see everything that's on your mind, everything that's in your heart,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to mm-hmm. go, why did I even call you?
And then that's where too many times we end up with that that hypocrite label.
That's right. That's right.
That's where we end up with it.
Yeah.
And it's attitude-based.
It is. It absolutely is. It's attitude-based, and, it's what you do when people aren't looking, right?
Right. Right.
You know, we know that.
Yeah.
There's always people watching.
Yeah. And what you do behind closed doors needs to be the same thing that everybody sees.
That's right.
Yeah. It's funny. You hear all these things growing up, like, you know, would you say that in front of Jesus? And, you know.
You're like, yeah, I would.
Exactly.
You wouldn't.
You know, no. Is that the same mouth you talk to your mama with?
Right.
You know, right. those kind of things. Now, and curse words aside, you know, it all boils down to an attitude that you have in your servanthood and the way that you follow through with that to make sure that Christ is glorified.
Yeah.
In everything that we do.
Yeah.
I had an interesting opportunity. I was coming home from this weekend. I was about 30 minutes from the house. This past weekend, it's about 30 minutes from the
house. Coming back from Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, yeah. And, man, it was a great ride coming home till I got to Monteagle. I got to Monteagle and it started raining.
Oh, yeah.
And then it rained on me all the way to Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm about 30 minutes from the house. On 8:40, and my daughter calls me, and she said, "Hey, Daddy, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, honey, I'm riding home." She said, "Are you on your bike?" I went, "Yeah." She said, "Oh, well, I was going to FaceTime you," and I said, "Well, you can still FaceTime me. I mean,
I'm not going to see you."
But yeah, and she said, "Not on your motorcycle." So she was having some issues with her thermostat and her unit, and you know, she'd put a new thermostat in. And so I called her yesterday. And I said, "Hey, you're still in trouble?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I've got a club son that's an HVAC certified tech." I said, "I'll grab him tonight. We'll come over there and take care of this." So we go over, and when Possum and I meet up, he tells me, "Hey, I got to be back at a certain place at a certain time." And so we get to my daughter's house, and he's supposed to be back at that certain place when we got there.
Oh.
And so we ran through real quick and figured out what the issue was, and I just sent him home, you know, sent him on to where he was supposed to go. And he called me back this morning, and he said, "Hey, brother, I just want to make sure that everything's good, you know, with your daughter and everything, and that, you know, her unit's working right." And I was like, "Man, it's perfect. You know, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for, you know, for your help and everything. I'm sorry that you were late." He goes, "No, man, that's what we do."
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Awesome.
And so my point of telling that story is Possum followed up to make sure that the Christian service,
yeah,
you know, was right.
Yeah.
not just the, you know, hey, put this part in here. And it was a fuse that was blown on the control board.
Okay.
You know, so it wasn't a major thing. As you know,
go buy a new fuse.
Yeah, you run the part store and get a 3-amp fuse and stick it back in. Everything's good.
Yeah.
So, but the important thing about that was, even though he was, you know, behind the eight ball trying to get back to where his appointment was at that certain time, he still wanted to make sure that the love that he had shown to my daughter, you know, was right.
Yeah.
And part of us figuring out the difference in loving and liking somebody is even after somebody calls and says, hey, I need help with this, you know, and we go ahead and help someone that we don't like.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important for us to follow back up and make sure that that situation is taken care of, as well as a spiritual situation, whatever that may look like.
I agree with that. It's not easy.
No.
Right? It's easier to make that phone call when you like them.
Right.
Your brothers. Hey, how was that?
Hey, I'm just checking up on you.
Yeah. Everything okay?
Yeah.
I'm horrible at checking up on people, but I mean, I need to get better at it.
Well, I look at, I am too. And the way that I look at that, though, is, and it's not a justification, you know, don't say, but it's my own reflection of, I'm putting out all these other fires. That fire's out, go to the next one. That
fire's out, yeah, go to
the
next
one. You know, and that's why I'm horrible at it, because I'm looking at the next fire.
Yeah, I am too, right? I'm like, what's the next thing I got to get done?
Right.
You know, the next thing I got to accomplish, the next ride we got to go on. You know, the next funeral.
What phone call do I need to make now? To
which there's been way too many funerals this year. Right?
There have been way too many funerals.
Wait, I mean, just... it's a ridiculous amount.
And
you know, so I'm always like, what's next? And for a long time, I couldn't ride, right?
Right.
2 months.
Mm-hmm.
2 months to be like, I'm going to get in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny you say too many funerals. I was in this past weekend in Jacksonville, I saw a guy from Maine, and he was like, I met you earlier this year somewhere, and I'm trying to figure out where it was. And he goes, it was a funeral.
Yeah, Knoxville probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's – you meet – there are too many funerals.
Yeah.
You know, especially in our world.
Yeah, unfortunately, probably the older we get, the more we're going to go to.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it like that. I'm, you know, yeah. Joke, but
– I hate to get those phone calls, too, that, you know, it's just rough. So
what else – from a love point of view is important to talk about?
I think we need to look at how we love, even outside of liking someone or not.
Yeah.
Because love is got to be a verb. You know, was that a DC Talk song or a Toby Mac song? Love's a verb. I don't remember. Anyway. We have
you start to, asking me about songs, I'm going to be blank.
Yeah, I'm the music guy here, folks. Rick is not. But I think we need to explore how we walk out that love. And it's not just something that love is not an admiration only thing. You know, there's got to be legs to it.
Yeah.
There's got to be that willingness to show your servant's heart in it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's in a love relationship with someone you do love or someone you just like or someone you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you know, I think about, you know, it's the scripture everybody says, right? God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But when you really think about that, you know, sending Christ here to die for us,
mm-hmm.
right? Because of the sin we committed.
Right.
Right. We put him on the cross.
We did.
And God loved us enough to say, I'm going to take care of that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And when you think back to, I just think like at Genesis when he says, right, we made man in our image.
In our image, right.
Right. Not my image, our image. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Trinity sat on the cross.
Right.
And so he's loved us so much from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not been loving to him.
So let me ask you this. This is a question that I've asked myself several times.
Yeah.
So when we don't love in that way, are we putting him right back up on the cross?
Probably. I mean, I don't want to admit that.
Well, I don't either.
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
I think we are.
Yeah.
I think we are. I think, and because of that, because of that thought process, I think that's a convicting way for us to introspectively look at the way that we do things.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, it's a way I've never thought about it, right? Like, you know, are we putting him back on the cross?
Right.
And it's humbling, maybe,
mm-hmm.
right? To think about he already made this sacrifice, right?
Right.
Created in our image,
mm-hmm.
right? So the
image. No, we're created in his image.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
From Genesis.
Oh, okay.
He created man. Okay. Right? He created man in our image.
Right.
And then he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing he asks, go and make disciples.
Well, and then.
Follow my commandments, right? Love God. Right.
Love God, love people.
He's not asking for us to build skyscrapers. He's not asking for us to do anything
mm-hmm.
except for love him and love people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what everything boils down to.
Every single thing boils down to that. And looking back in Old Testament and New Testament, that's God's plan for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's always been that.
Yeah.
And in, even in times when, like in Paul's epistles, or the letters that Peter, you know, First, Second Peter, or John the Beloved, First, Second, Third John, you know, James, and those things, everything boiled down to love God and love people.
Yeah,
every single thought, and testament to that has been our conversion.
Yeah.
Mine, and I know yours as well.
I mean, absolutely mine, right?
So how do you, and that's not a how question. This is more of a challenge question, I guess, is in order to show that, in order to show how you live that,
yeah,
there has to be legs to that thought process. There's got to be.
Yeah.
And the way that you show that, and the way that you come through with that,
yeah,
shows how much you love God.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask this question. I know the answer to it, but I think, you know, there may be somebody who listens that wants to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we show God love?
So
I think I know the answer.
Okay, so let me give you a little excerpt from a teaching sermon that I have done in the past. So there is no way for us to have healthy relationships on this world, on this earth, right?
Right.
Without loving God.
That's right.
So healthy relationships or relationships on earth is a vertical plane.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sorry, horizontal plane. And then the relationship with God has got to be that vertical plane.
That's right.
Right? So you can't have this without this.
Yeah.
And you can't have this without this.
Yeah.
The reason is because we were created to worship the Father. We were created.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So we as a body, Big C Church,
yep,
were created to worship the Father. in order for us to effectively worship the Father, we can't, like if there is something going on between you and me,
yeah.
Scripture tells us before we worship, before we take our offering to the altar, we leave it there, go take care of it, then come back
and give it.
Right. So there is no way, absolutely no way possible for us to not love people but still love God. So you can't have this without this, and you can't have this without this, because without loving God, without being in Christ's footsteps, without knowing how to love, by knowing Scripture, by praying, by walking that out, by, you know, the my faith growing,
right,
there's no way that I can love people. In other words, there's no way that I can love God.
Okay. That's, I agree with that as I think about it, right?
Yeah.
And so you have this relationship,
mm-hmm.
but how are you loving God? Like, what do you have to do to love God?
Well, the first thing is love people.
Because I think there's a lot of people who maybe don't understand that.
I think right? so too.
Because if
so
you're too. Not, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. right? If you don't have that, if you're not filled with the Spirit, and you're just maybe fresh on your journey,
mm-hmm.
right? You may not know how to love God. And I think that that's confusing for people, right? Because we think about, when you think about love, right? There's this agape love, which is with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's then the I love my spouse.
Right.
Right. And I'm not trying to compare the two things, but, you know, somebody who's new in their walk would maybe relate and say, well, you know, because I love my wife, I help with the dishes and I show her that I care. I mm-hmm. like, there's all these ways that you show love, right? Depending on who mm-hmm. your spouse is. You can read the five love languages and know what your spouses are versus right. yours versus right. men are from Mars, women are from Venus, whatever right. you want, right?
Right?
But there's a way you show your wife love.
Yeah.
But that's not how you show God love.
True. Well, see, showing your wife love, though, I call that prospecting at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically.
I agree with you.
So.
But if you're new in Christ and you're asking the question,
mm-hmm.
how do I show God love?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an easy answer?
Well, first, let me answer this way. My love language is tacos and Harley Davidson.
I will tell you, Linda has said in the last 2 days, I've been a lot happier. Because I could ride.
Because you can ride, yeah.
But you know what it made me realize? It made me realize that I relied on the time I was on my bike to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't rely on, you know, in my morning. I didn't rely on in my evening.
Those are tertiary things, yeah.
Right? I'd be like, okay, right. I need some time with God. I'm going to go ride.
Right.
But I don't need – it made me realize I don't need a bike to do that. Like, I was not showing God love.
Careful. Linda's listening.
I know she is.
I did not say that.
I know she is.
Yeah, right? I know. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
But I didn't need to be on my Harley
right.
to love God.
Right.
To talk with God.
Right.
Right? And so when I think about how do I love God, I just talk to him and engage with him.
True.
Right. I follow the commandments that he's given me to the True. Best of my ability and recognize that I'm not perfect.
Right. right? And then try to fix the times when you get it wrong.
Right. Try to fix it when I get it wrong.
Right. Right.
But don't ignore him.
That and I think it all comes down to a focus.
Yeah.
It all comes down to a focus.
Yeah.
And what we focus on and the way that we focus those things that we're focusing on.
Yeah.
For instance, I and you and I have talked about this. You've heard me preach this in teaches before that remote control televisions and microwave ovens are the downfall of society as we know it today. Because it is
absolutely
it has taught us a me-ism mentality.
Yeah.
And it's taught us that we want what we want right now. And the only way to get that is to demand it.
Right.
Okay? Love is not demanding. love is not self-centered and self-seeking.
Yeah.
So in order to show love to God,
yeah,
we have to remember that love being not self-serving and self-seeking puts others before us.
Absolutely.
And so the I am third mentality has got to come out in everything that we do.
Yeah. I like that where you said I am third. I'm familiar with the I am second stuff, right? Mm-hmm. They've got some amazing videos where it's like I am second. But I am third. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That's one of the reasons that my club colors are black and bronze.
Yeah.
Because we're third. I'm third. Yeah. God's before us and others and then me.
Yeah. Because the bronze is the third.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So the you have this, you know, God, others, and then me.
Yeah.
And that puts us in the right mindset, the right attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Precursor, we'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. We say, like, you know, we say it's God, family, work, ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, yeah. Right. That's the way we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, ours is God, family, work, and then club. You know, ministry.
Same thing.
Yeah. We just group that in. You know, with everybody else in front of us.
Yeah,
makes us third.
I gotta tell you this because just you know what, 30 minutes ago you're like that's going to be canceled. I just got a text message that it was canceled.
I told you.
So there is no Totally Run tomorrow.
Well, I mean, look, did I get it too? Oh yeah, there it is. There it is.
So, anyway.
All right, Lazarus crew, take the day off.
Well, you know, what's interesting about it is BFC always carries the COC flags.
Right.
Right? So if you were going to go, I was going to ask you to carry one of the flags.
Well, I would have.
I know you would have, but I could have carried one and you could have carried one.
Right.
But now it's rescheduled.
No, when did it reschedule? I didn't even see when it was rescheduled.
It said December 3rd, but I don't know how we're going to do that.
No, we can't do that.
No,
because we're going to be.
It's another meeting.
Yeah, it's another meeting.
And that's what my text message said. I don't know how we're going to do this.
I didn't read the message. I just saw it. It was canceled.
Well, mine was from Joe, so it said.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. All right.
Mine was from a rogue captain, too.
I think love's a great topic because I think far too often people.
Well, we slur it.
We slur it.
Literally.
We smear the line.
Yeah.
Right? It's
blurred
into society.
Right.
Right. And it's one of those words nowadays that we're, you know, I think it's really just, it's thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I love you. Oh, God, I love tacos.
Yeah.
You just said you love
tacos. I just said my language was tacos.
And Harley Davidson, right?
Right. Right.
I love riding. I love this, right? I love my new helmet. I love my kids and my grandkids and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I like that other stuff.
Right. But our expression and the way that we express those things.
Which I think because of that expression, the way we express things, it waters it down.
Yeah.
Right. It waters down that love or that feeling that you get from God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you say you love everything, do you really understand
what love is?
What love is? What that feeling really is? And I think we just really diminish that in society, at least in American society.
Sure, I think so too. And I think we go so far over the line with trying to live up to a shock and awe, you know, that we get so. Demonstrative, that's two different words, demonstrative, right. With what we're trying to convey that in order for people to hear us, we go way overboard with words and way underwhelming with actions.
Absolutely.
So that we get to a point of like, I love tacos and Harley, you know.
Yeah.
No, I really like tacos.
Right.
You know.
I mean, I really, really like tacos too. I can't eat them. I'll eat a taco salad, but I can't have the grain.
I'm sorry.
I know. The corn, the flour.
I know.
I just don't do it no more.
I can. I'm thinking about street tacos right now.
Good for you, though. Good yeah. For you. It's just something. It is what it is.
Yeah. Rebecca's gluten intolerant, so but she can still have corn tortillas.
Yeah, Linda can too. Yeah. But I don't. I'm just trying to not do it. You know, I've lost 15 or 18 pounds.
I'm not ready for the Daniel diet yet.
Right. I'm doing no grain, no sugar. Been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
I feel great, right?
Right, right.
Trying to show myself some love. Right?
How's the body as a temple?
That's what they say. I haven't lived that for 49 years, but
yeah,
I'm going to try.
Yeah. I started about 4 years ago. Yeah, about 4 years ago. Eating healthier, drinking more water, you know, trying to cut out carbonated drinks and things like that. And now I have days where I, you know, I'll have a Mountain Dew or something like that. But in order to kick that, because I was a Mountain Dew guy, Mountain Dew and Sun Drop, you know, I drank that constantly. But I would go get club soda and like grape juice and mix it together. And you know, so you got natural sweetener.
Yeah.
In a carbonated drink, and then it was easy to just stay with water. Well, of course, I got a Gatorade today.
I generally will, like, the only thing I would do carbonated now is like a sparkling water with natural flavor, like lemon or lime or something. That's it.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. But when I started doing it, I lost 42 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had lost 20, right? And then we went to Disney World.
And that got shot.
I'm an all-in kind of guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
at the end of the day, if I'm doing it.
You're doing it big.
I'm all in.
So did you go to the State Fair this year?
We did, actually, one night.
I wasn't able to go this year. And I wanted to go.
And the only reason we went is, you know, Linda can't have gluten.
Right.
But she can have corn on the cob.
Right, and the roasted corn on the cob is fantastic. The roasted corn on the cob
is amazing. So we went, and I found a place that just had Polish sausage. So I just got like two great big Polish sausages, no bun, no nothing, just...
Yeah, just the sausage in a little
tray, right?
Yeah,
just a little bit of carnivore action.
Right, right.
And we sat there, and I'm not... You know, I think Linda had two or three ears of corn.
Right? Oh, I can eat corn.
But she didn't eat. But she didn't eat dinner or nothing before. She like she was preparing.
Right. Yeah.
Like we're gonna pay to go to the fair. We're not riding any rides.
Right. Yeah.
We're probably not gonna walk around through the stuff. We're just going to have corn.
Yeah. I like to go to the agricultural stuff, but I have to make sure that while we're walking around the food areas, that I don't stop at like the fried Oreos and fried Twinkies and stuff.
It would be bad. Fried Snickers.
Yeah, they had a fried Snickers there this year. Yeah, I heard about it. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Yeah,
it's pretty big. I mean,
right?
The Wilson County one's always been big.
It's always been big, but now that it's tied in with the state fair, it's massive. So the reason I asked that because we got on this conversation about taking better care of ourselves.
Yeah, which is loving.
It is loving, but it's also putting us in a position that when we feel better, that we are more apt to jump up to show love to someone else.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that because there were times that I, you know, before I started doing this no grain, no sugar thing, I didn't love myself.
Right.
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 And I'm still, like, I got a long way to go, right? But I hurt so bad that when somebody asks me to do something, I'm like, no. Like, and not that I hurt so bad, but I'm just lazy.
Right.
Right? I didn't have the energy. I'd be in like a food coma.
Right.
Right? And that's not loving to me. That's not loving to them. That's not loving to my wife.
Right.
Right? It's not loving to anybody.
It's not loving to God because you're not. It's
definitely not loving to God.
Right.
And it's a term that I hate to use, but it's like it's gluttony.
It is.
Right?
It is.
I just really hate the term because that's what it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not loving to me or God.
Mm-hmm.
Probably shouldn't be saying all this stuff right now.
Why?
It's a lot of vulnerable moments going on right here.
That's not confession.
This guy feels like it.
Well, kind of, yeah. So in loving yourself that way, and in showing, I want to stop something here. I came on my way back from Jacksonville. You know my love of Buc-ee's.
Oh, absolutely.
So I stopped in Calhoun, Georgia.
Been to it numerous times.
I love that stop.
It's great. Yeah.
It's not as big as Crossville.
No, it's not.
But it's big. Yes. That's a big Buc-ee's.
I haven't been to the one in Crossville, I know the Calhoun one is really big.
That was my first introduction to Buc-ee's was Crossville, the world's biggest Buc-ee's.
Yeah, we had been long before that.
Yeah, I'd never been to one. Yeah. So one of the things that I did when I went to Buc-ee's the first time was I got a couple of squares of fudge.
Yeah.
Their fudge counter is amazing, folks. Yeah. It's seriously amazing. Yeah. So I called Rebecca, told her where I was, and she's like, "Ooh, I need some fudge." I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
So it was buy four, get two free.
So you bought 10.
No. I bought four and got my two free. So I get up, but now they're little, like, you know, 2.5-inch, almost 3-inch squares, you know?
And they're like an inch and a half thick.
Yeah. They're massive. So I'll get rid of this cough one of these days.
Yeah.
So anyway, I put it in the tour pack. I didn't eat any of it before I left. Got on the road and came home. Okay. There's still, now this is 5 days later.
Yeah.
Right? There's still 3.5 squares of fudge left.
Well, good.
Because we have, both of us. Now, I'm not saying it's going to last another week. I'm saying there's 3.5 squares as of today.
Yeah.
Because both of us have decided to love ourselves better.
Yeah.
So that we feel better for ministry. So that we feel better to show other people love. That's one of the steps that we take.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that because, you know, I think aside from this, the pure... I need to love, you know, take care of myself.
Right.
I feel like, how can I tell people God loves them or show them the love of God if I don't love myself?
Exactly.
Right. If I'm not taking care of myself or showing myself love, right? Mm-hmm. How are they going to see Christ through me?
Exactly. Right. You know, and like what you said before, because both of us have been told several times, you may be the only Bible that somebody reads.
Yeah.
Well, what is it going to say if I'm, you know, not able to live out the Bible or to follow the path that God has set my feet on?
Right.
Because of the way that I mistreat my body.
Yeah. It's horrible.
So that's, you know.
I'm trying, and at the end of the day, I'm going to fall down and I'm going to get right back up.
Oh, sure.
Right. I mean, we're not perfect.
But that's the thing.
But as long as I recognize that it's just one step, and loving somebody is the same way,
right?
Loving people, you're gonna fall, mm-hmm. you're gonna make mistakes, and you're gonna maybe call them some names you shouldn't call them, right?
Yeah.
The important thing is that you say, "Look, I screwed up. I'm sorry."
Yeah. Well, let me restart.
I take accountability for that. Let's do this again.
Right. My dad had a first cousin. Probably the best mechanic I've ever met in my life.
Okay.
Ever. And when the professor was dying of lung cancer, I had a 78 Pontiac Grand Prix. And I'm just giving an example of how good of a mechanic he was and how incredibly tough. This man was impervious to electricity. His son and I had been working on my car, and I was 19, I think. Anyway, we'd been working on the car, and we had the car was missing bad.
Yeah.
And so I went out to see Loy and see, you know, how he was doing and everything. He was sick. He was bad sick. And he'd been somebody I'd looked up to all my life. And he said, he called me P-Vine. My family back home called me P-Vine. He said, "P-Vine, how's the old Pontiac running?" I said, "Well, Steven ain't doing too good." He said, "What's it doing?" I said, "It's missing." He said, "Come on out here. Let's listen to it." I said, "No, you don't feel good." It was a chilly day in November.
Yeah.
And he goes, "No, I need to get out of this chair." So we walked out there, and I started it up, popped the hood, And before I realized what he was doing, he reached down and grabbed all 8 spark plug wires off the distributor cap and pulled them off, right? Man, it was literally 3 weeks before he passed away from lung cancer. Maybe I take that back. About a month and a half, maybe. Six weeks before he passed away from lung cancer, right? He's deathly sick. He's still, though, pulling it off. And he pulls a, you know, traces out the wires and puts them back on the distributor cap, right? And he goes, now I fired up, purr like a kitten. My point is this. He always, no matter what, no matter how he felt, no matter what he did, he wanted to be a servant. And even in times when I sat at his feet to learn things, whether it be about mechanicking, whether it be about life, whether it be about scripture, whatever. He told me one time, he said, Pivan, 95% of the sin is not in the fall. 95% of the sin isn't staying down.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've never heard it, but it's accurate.
And so we beat ourselves not loving ourselves.
Yeah.
And we shame ourselves not liking ourselves.
Yeah.
To a point to where God can't use me. I'm going to stay down here in this unrepented sin.
Yeah. That's what it is.
And so that 95% of the sin is not in the fall. It's in staying down.
Yeah. So get back up.
Get back up.
Every day.
Every single day.
You know, show yourself compassion.
Right.
Right. Show yourself grace.
Mm-hmm.
Get back up.
But Lloyd loved well enough and loved deep enough. He loved God and he loved people. And he showed that every single day of his life.
Yeah.
Every single day of his life.
Amen.
He was a great guy.
Amen.
I remember as a kid growing up, he had a car wreck back before I was born. Ran off of a cliff in California when he was stationed in the Navy.
Oof.
And all he drove back then was V8 Fords. And he caught the V8 emblem in the middle of the dashboard right between his eyes right here.
Okay.
And I remember as a kid watching Lloyd get mad and that V8 emblem show up in the middle of his forehead.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
This has been a great topic.
It really has.
I've really liked it.
I have too.
So we need to finish it up.
Yep.
I think what I would just say, look, have compassion for yourself. Mm-hmm. Show yourself love.
Mm-hmm.
And just
show others the same way.
Show others the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Get out of your way.
That's our problem.
Right? Get out of your own way.
Get out of your own way.
Get out of the boat.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of the boat.
Get out of the boat.
Get out of the boat and live your joy.
Oh, amen to that. Live your joy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think people know what their joy is. That's probably another topic.
Well, we asked for that last week.
Yeah, we did. I haven't got an email yet.
You haven't?
No.
Well,
I know people are listening, though.
Yeah, I know people are listening, too. We look at the metrics and we see, you know, people listening in different areas across the country, and it's great to, you know.
I think it's like 8 countries now.
Really?
Yeah. South Korea, Georgia, Turkey. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we're in that. I mean,
I didn't either, but look, that's what the data says.
Well, that's great. But you guys send us some topics. Tell us what your joy is. Let's keep on talking about that too.
Absolutely.
Send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's keep the conversation going.
All right. Again, this is Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember, love God.
And love people.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.